Today we're in the book of Joshua. That's in the Old Testament. We're going to look at God's leadership. We just finished Thanksgiving. One of the things that we need to be thankful for is that God provides leadership for us, godly leadership. And you need to pray that these countries that are having lots of baby Christians would have proper leadership. God raises up people. And we're looking at a very great time in the Hebrew children's history. They finally finished wandering in the wilderness. That generation that had left Egypt, almost all of them had died out except for Joshua and Caleb. They've come around. They've been wandering for 40 years, and they've come around to where they're over here where they were when they rebelled under Balaam. Balaam caused the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, to stumble in Baal worship, and they were having those sexual religious Baal celebrations, and that was over here at a place called Shittim or Acacia Grove. They were within sight of the Promised Land, and they rebelled against God. And Balaam died in the enemy camp, and they wandered in the wilderness. That's 40 years they were wandering. Now they've come back to the same area, but only two of them remember that. So when Joshua says, you know, you have not passed this way before, you say, hey, wait a minute, they were there before. Yeah, well, they weren't. They're parents and grandparents had been there before, but they had not been there before. Okay, so we're at a place where they need leadership because they're going to have to go in and take the land, and those people aren't going to just roll over and let them do that. There's a military campaign coming up, and the people, they were rebellious against Moses. Moses, one of the greatest leaders in world history. Well, he was great because God was with him. And now Joshua is going to have to follow in Moses' steps. And Joshua is not the guy that Moses was. They rebelled against Moses. They wanted to elect priests and they wanted to go back to Egypt because they liked the leek burgers better than this manna all the time. Moses got real upset. He looked at God and said, have I given birth to all these people? You know, they were rebellious. They were a rebellious lot. Now, I think maybe Joshua's not feeling like he's up for the job. You know, Moses didn't think he was up for the job. He said he didn't want to go to Egypt. He said he wasn't a very good public speaker. And God said, okay, I'll give you Aaron. Aaron never says anything. Moses talks for chapter after chapter after chapter. Only thing Aaron ever says, we just threw the jewelry into this fire and this calf jumped out. I don't think Moses was being perfectly honest with God. I think he just wanted to get out of it. You know, I just never was a good public speaker. Yeah, well. He can speechify when he's ready. So anyway, here we are. Moses is dead. This generation, with two exceptions, have not been here before. They're the ones who, they've never known the Promised Land. All they've known is wandering in the wilderness. That's where they were born. All right, so here we go. Godly leadership. Number one, got to remember, godly leadership is commissioned by God. Okay? And we don't rebel against godly leadership because that would be rebelling against God who gave the godly leadership. So it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Did you get that? That's a big assignment. He's going to lead them over the Jordan. You and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness, all right, now he's going to line out where their land is going to be. I've got a little map here drawn. The wilderness is down to the south, okay, down near Beersheba. From the wilderness, well, we got to find one that works. From the wilderness, he says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, all right, you cannot see Lebanon from where they are, but God is speaking to them as if they were right there. From the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, that's way over this way. All the land of the Hittites, and you're talking about basically this area right here, the hill country, he says, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun. See what he's done? South, north, east, west. He says, shall be your territory. And now, at that point, you've got to realize there are all kind of hostiles in this area. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. In other words, you're going to be a great military commander and you're going to defeat your enemies. Okay? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. All right, now, Moses didn't want to go to Egypt, but God said, I will be with you. That's how God convinced Moses to go back down there, all right? I will be with you. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he says, go therefore and disciple all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I with you am always until the end of the age. It's a tall order, but God is with us. Okay? And so he says, as I was with Moses, verse 5, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, God is encouraging Joshua at this point. I believe it's because Joshua needs the encouragement. This is a tall order. There are lots of ways to fail and only one way to be successful. You've got to stay close to the Lord. He says, be strong and of good courage. Now, he's going to say this more than once. He's going to say this four times. And the children of Israel, in responding to Joshua, they're going to say it another time. That's five times. Okay? Be strong and of good courage. Why do you think the Bible tells us 365 times to fear not? Because we fear. Okay? We have the tendency to fear. And God, if God tells us something once, it's significant. But if he tells us something 365 times, it's even more significant. So faith and fear don't go together well. He says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance. Now he's going to divide up among the tribes, all right? The land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God swore, it's going to be done, all right? Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. That's the second time. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. In other words, you've got to stick with Scripture. You've got to stick with God. You've got to stick with Scripture. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. All right? The key to success, Joshua, is stick with the Lord and stick with His Word. Don't let that go by the boards. Don't trust in your own strength. Okay? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Billy Graham, when he got out of Bible college, he had some problems with the synoptic problem, and there were some things in Scripture he could not understand. And he decided that he was going to found his ministry on the Word of God. The Bible says, and he wasn't going to worry about the things he could not explain. And all those years of ministry, Franklin Graham estimates had been, what, one and a half million? 1.3 million this year saved. Okay? It's not because of Billy Graham. God could raise up Billy Graham's out of these chairs. Okay? It's because the Word will not return void, but will accomplish what He sent it forth to do. We serve a great God. And He says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. That's the third time He said it. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. That's a reverse way of saying the same thing. Four times He said, be strong, be of good courage. Okay? Joshua at this stage in his life needs that. He says, for the Lord your God is with you. Now that's the second time He's repeated that, wherever you go. Okay? Saul, King Saul, the Lord left him and he didn't notice it. And that's the great tragedy. David left the Lord, but he found repentance. Okay? But the sword did not depart from his house. It's better to stick with God, stick with His Word, okay? God can create 1 trillion galaxies. He can write a book. My secretary can write a book with 66 chapters and send it to every major city in this country without losing the text. The liberals say that God can't do what my secretary can do in a bad week. Come on. We serve a great God, not an itty-bitty God who can't spell. All right, so number one, the leaders are commissioned by God. Godly leaders commissioned by God. Number two, they carry out God's command. First thing that Joshua does, he starts to mobilize the people. He starts getting them ready to do what God has called him to do. God gives Joshua the vision. The people carry it out. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. All right, 3 days rations. you need to prepare 3 days rations. You know what that means? That means there's a military campaign coming up. Okay? He's given them marching orders. That's what, in a military sense, that's what's going on here. All right. For in 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half the tribe of Manasseh. Now these are those tribes, the two and a half tribes that settled on the other side of the Jordan. Okay. You need to tell them. Joshua spoke to them, saying, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land.'" It's what we call the Transjordan up there, all right? "Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them." Okay, now wait a minute. You're going to leave your wives, your children, and your cattle unprotected? Who's going to protect them? God. You're going to arm yourselves, and you're going to go with the other tribes across on this military campaign. And you're going to leave them vulnerable? Yeah, God's going to be your rear guard here. He doesn't say that, but I'm sure it's going through their minds. "Until the Lord has given your brethren rest," this is that rest that the book of Hebrews mentions. Joshua promised them rest. Once you've defeated your enemies, you'll be at rest in the land. "As he gave you, and they have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it." Okay? You're going to go over, help them conquer the land, then you can come back and enjoy the land which God gives you. That's what he's saying. "Which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise." All right? So they answered Joshua, saying, all right, "All that you commanded us, we will do." Now, first thing a military leader has to have is obedience. Now, here are his troops, at least two and a half tribes, and they're saying, "Everything that you have commanded us, we will do." So they're unified. "Just as we obeyed Moses." Ding, 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 ding. Wait a minute. They didn't obey Moses. Moses was pulling his hair out, figuratively speaking. But there's a little undercurrent here. But they say, "Just as all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you will send us, we will go." It's kind of like when the seminary students sing, "Wherever he leads, I'll go, as long as it's Tupelo. And the salary's not $80,000 or below. Wherever he leads, I'll go." "So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death.'" If somebody doesn't obey, we're going to off him. It's kind of a mixed blessing, I'm sure, for Joshua. "Only be strong and of good courage." Wait a minute, where have you heard that before? God said it three times. Now his people are echoing God's word, "Be strong and of good courage." And I'm thinking Joshua probably needed that right now. He's probably up there quaking in his boots. Okay? Not only has he got to go into some very iffy territory, he's got to fill Moses' sandals. Moses had great miracles. Joshua We don't know about him. Even his people are saying, you need to be strong and of good courage. All right, so number two, that's what we were just talking about. God's leadership carries out God's command. Number three, godly leadership influences others. Now we're talking about the Canaanites. We're talking about a woman named Rahab. He's going to send some spies across the Jordan to a place called Jericho. It's an oasis. Actually, a beautiful place. Got a lot of palm trees, and it's within walking distance of the Jordan River. It was a double-walled city. And he sent some spies over. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove, Shittim, to spy secretly, saying, go view out the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. So they're actually in the city of Jericho, two Hebrew spies. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. Now, you got to say something about his intelligence. That king knew what was going on in that city. Okay, he knew that there were two spies from the Hebrew children. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab. He knows where they've been, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they've come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, now, some people have a problem with this, but if you see it as strategic deception, you see, Rahab is really not a Canaanite. She is by inheritance, but she trusts in the Lord because she knows what the Lord did in Egypt, and she wants the Lord, she wants to be on the right side of the Lord, okay? So she's really a believer. And she gives strategic deception to help Israel win. Well, it's kind of like when we did some strategic deception to make Hitler think that the attack was not coming through Sicily but coming through Greece. And they took this body out of the London morgue and they dressed him up like a major and they gave him a satchel with letters from Churchill saying the attack was coming through Greece and made the Germans try to defend all those ins and outs in Greece, and they wasted a lot of troops up there, and then we attacked at Sicily. It's strategic deception, okay? This is warfare. So the woman took the two men and hid them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut. Now, this is the city gate, heavily guarded, all right? As the gate was being shut when it was dark, that the men went out. Okay, she's leading them to think that they slipped out through the gate before it got shut, and they just left. Where they went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, you might overtake them. So the king's men take this as the gospel, you know. They're acting on her words. She had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. Flax, they use it to put on the floor as a kind of a carpet. And she's got the stacks of flax drying in the sun up on the roof. Okay, and she's got them hiding under it. Then the men, these are the king's men, pursued them by the road to the Jordan. See, they're coming. All right, hold on. All right, Jericho, double wall city, the city gate, and then the road to the Jordan, and then you've got mountains up here. Those, by the way, are the Mount of Temptation, across the Jericho Road, all right? So she's telling them they went this way, then she's going to let them out down the wall and tell them to go this way, okay? So then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So now they can't get back in. Thing is, they've never left. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. The terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. These are two local strong men, kings. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Now, this is very good intelligence, because the people are so scared, they're not going to be able to put up much resistance. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. He's in charge here, not the false gods. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a pledge of truth, a true token. Help me get out of this. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. Now, they're not going to tell you this. I got this from the archaeologist. When they were excavating Jericho, a German team in the 1920s, they found that the mud brick wall all around Jericho had collapsed, except in one place. It was on the north. There was a house attached to it. Okay? Now, it no longer exists, because mud brick, once it's been exposed to the elements, it goes. They might have taken some photographs, and I'd be interested in seeing this. A German team found a house that had been built into the wall that was on the north side that had not collapsed. It did not have the name Rahab on the mailbox. Is that her house? Well, I'm not saying. I'm saying it sounds like it. That they won't tell you about these things, all right? He says, she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain. Okay, now, the best way for them to go is in the opposite direction, because the search parties have shut the gate, and they're going this way. So they're going the other way. Get to the mountain. By the way, they think, traditionally, that mountain is the Mount of Temptation, where Jesus was when he was tempted by the devil. There's a Greek Orthodox monastery on the top of it. It's called the Mount of Temptation. It's right across the Jericho Road from Jericho, the old Jericho. All right, it says, get to the mountain lest the pursuers catch you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. Okay, stay put in the mountains until they've come back. And the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours which you've made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. We know where the window is. If you put this scarlet cord out, we're not going to hurt you. All right? Unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household into your own home, we can't vouch for them. You've got to get them to a place of safety. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. And we will be guiltless. whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid upon him. Okay? That's their safe place. All right? If you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear. It's very serious to take an oath in the name of the Lord. All right? Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. That was a sign of recognition. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. They did exactly what she told them to. The pursuers sought them all along the way but did not find them. Now, you have to give, for a Canaanite woman of the night, she's a pretty good military strategist. And they did exactly what she told them to, and everything works. All right? So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. In other words, now is the time to strike. Okay? Finally, number four, the godly leadership must be obeyed. It influenced Rahab. She's basically become a believer. And she's also an ancestor of David and Jesus. And then number four, godly leadership must be obeyed. Chapter 3. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning. They set out from Acacia Grove and they came to the Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. Now we've got a camp. All right. So it was after 3 days, that's one whole day and part of two others, that the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the priests and the Levites carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go behind it. But there will be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. In other words, you need to stay about 3,000 feet away from the Ark. And you know what I would have done? I would have stayed 3,000 feet away from the ark. By measure, do not come near it, so that you may know the way by which you must go. You start crowding around it, you can't tell which way to go. You stay back, you can see it, and then you can follow. For you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Make yourselves holy, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Just like he did when they crossed the Red Sea, he's gonna do a wonder. He's going to kind of ratify Joshua's leadership by giving them a miracle to let the people know that he's with them. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to make you great. I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, this is what you tell them. When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Now, the Jordan was at flood stage. This is in the spring, 1406. Okay? It's overspread its banks. Okay? You're gonna try to get through. The Jordan's very swift moving. In fact, the word Jordan means descender. It's moving very fast. People can get swept away. Okay? This is gonna be a difficult thing to cross that. And they've got about 1 million people with them. Okay, so where are you going to cross? You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you will know the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites. It doesn't say that. I was just checking, make sure you were paying attention. All right, now, what Joshua is talking about here, he's not listing all the names of the tribes that are in the land. He's just giving you seven. But geographically, it's significant. So when he says Canaanites, he's talking about people who are basically living from the coast to the Jordan, okay, sort of north central, all right. The Hittites, they're going to be in the hill country. They're going to be kind of living here. He says the Hivites, now they're going to be up here in Lebanon, all right? The Hivites, the Perizzites, they're in the plains of Samaria. The Girgashites, they're going to be up here to the north somewhere. The Amorites, they're going to be east of the Jordan. They're going to be over here. And the Jebusites, they're going to be in the Jerusalem area. All right, so you see what he's doing geographically? He's talking about people who are going to be in all of these areas. That's the land. These are the tribes that are in those regions. It's geographically significant. He's talking about people all over the land. He will drive out before you, and he lists these seven tribes. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from every tribe. This is going to be significant in chapter 4 because they've got to get stones and they're going to make a memorial. All right. He says, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, they're doing just what Joshua commanded, all right? Just what the Lord commanded. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam. That's way upstream. The city which is beside Zaratan. So this is geographically and historically significant. This is not a myth or a legend. These are real places, all right? So the waters that went down into the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore, you know what? They didn't get stuck in the mud either. It was dry ground. It wasn't. Can you imagine if it was muddy and you had 1 million people crossing it, what it would look like? It was dry. Dry ground. It went from flood stage to dry ground. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. First step of obedience. And do you know what? Our first step of obedience is baptism. We saw one this morning. And do you know where John was baptizing Jesus? Jordan River, just north of the Salt Sea. All right, what do we make of this? Number one, application. We thank God while we're in thanksgiving mode for calling godly leaders. Thank Him for leadership, because it doesn't work as well without them, believe me. Number two, thank God for His plan. He's got a plan for your life. You fit into a larger plan. I peeked in the back of the book, and God wins. So you're marching in an army that can't lose. You've got all this in heaven, too. You got houses and lands and mothers and fathers and persecutions, Jesus told Peter. And in the age to come, eternal life. All right, number three, we need to obey and follow godly leaders and pray for them, because Satan's got them in his crosshairs, and pray for their families too. Okay? And number four, you start praising God for His victory. Okay? Even though the people were not fully obedient, they ultimately were going to inherit the land in spite of their failings and foibles. Okay? In spite of our weaknesses, God is going to gain the victory through us. Paul says we are more than conquerors through Him who called us. Thank God for the victory that Jesus gained at the cross, the spiritual victory. When He resisted the devil, He was tempted like the children of Israel. 40 days and 40 nights, when He resisted the devil, He won. He won. He refused to bow the knee in the secret place. He had victory in the public place, and we're marching in His army. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the victory that You have secured through our desert warrior, Jesus Christ. We thank You for Joshua, for his obedience. We thank You for Moses, for his obedience. Lord, we thank You for Paul and for Peter, for all the leaders that You supplied. We thank You for our leadership. We know that You raised them up, and we thank You for that. Father, help us to live victorious lives, looking to Jesus, the one who authored our faith and the one who finishes our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.